Hello and welcome to the 1001 Albums Journey podcast. As usual, thank you very much for clicking this episode. Today, I'm going to be talking about the Louvin Brothers and their album, Tragic Songs of Life. So let's get into it.
One, two!
If, like me, you had never heard of the Louvin Brothers before, I'll give you a quick summary of who they are. The Louvin Brothers were an American musical duo composed of brothers, Ira and Charlie Louvin. The brothers wrote and performed country, bluegrass, and gospel music. Ira played the mandolin and generally sang lead vocals, while Charlie played rhythm guitar and offered supporting vocals in a lower pitch. The pair helped popularise the vocal technique, close harmony, in country and country rock. The Louvin Brothers broke up in 1963, due in part to Charlie growing tired of Ira's addictions and reckless behaviour. Ira died in a traffic accident in 1965, but the pair were inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2001, and Charlie died of cancer in 2011. Rolling Stone ranked the Louvin Brothers number 4, on its list of the 20 greatest duos of all time. Their songs were heavily influenced by their Baptist faith and warred against sin, but nevertheless, Ira Louvin was notorious for his drinking, womanizing, and volcanic temper. He was married 4 times. His wife, Faye, shot him 4 times in the chest and twice in the hand after he allegedly tried to strangle her with a telephone cord. Although seriously injured, Ira survived. And Faye is reported to have said, "If the bastard don't die, I'll shoot him again." When performing and drinking, Ira would sometimes become angry enough on stage to smash his mandolin when he was unable to tune it, but when sober, glue it all back together again. So that's the Louvin Brothers there. Some interesting facts about the duo. Their music, which was again heavily influenced by their Baptist faith, almost contradicts a lot of their behaviour with the drinking, womanising, and a short fuse, shall we say, described as a volcanic temper. To be listed as the Rolling Stones' 4th greatest duos of all time is amazing praise, and their induction into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2001 speaks volumes. But I think it's safe to say that even with their songwriting talent, they still had problems in their life. Which leads nicely onto the title for this album, Tragic Songs of Life. So Tragic Songs of Life was released in 1956, and it is the debut album by American country music duo, the Louvin Brothers. The majority of the songs are tragic, heartbreak and misfortune songs, and classic murder ballads. Mark Deming stated in his All Music review, "This is a landmark of traditional country music that remains powerful 50 years after it was released." Don Yates of No Depression magazine singled out the Louvin's version of In the Pines when writing, "It's perhaps their most powerful rendering of traditional folk music's bleak vision of a dark and forlorn land, where love is absent and death is the only certainty. It's the centerpiece of what is arguably the Louvin Brothers' finest album." And of course, the album is included in the 1001 albums to hear before you die. Before I get into the article from the 1001 Albums book for this album, I'm going to play you a little of the opening track, Kentucky. So here it is.
Land outside of heaven to me, Kentucky. Your laurels and your red bud tree. When I die, I want to rest upon your graceful mountain so high. Kentucky. where God will look for me.
So taken from the 1001 album's book, you don't have to be mad, murderous, drunk, driven, lonesome, or blue to sing country music, but it sure helps. Ira Leuven wasn't all of the above, but he was something. Emerging in the 1940s, Charlie and Ira Leuven slotted neatly into their country music tradition of close harmony, brother duet singing, following in the footsteps of the Delmore brothers, and acting as an early template for the Everly brothers. Their first full album remains one of country's essential bedrock releases. Charlie's baritone and Ira's pure high tenor trade and fuse with lifting style and butterous grace. The artwork most commonly associated with the record features Charlie and Ira superimposed over a distraught blonde clutching a crumpled letter. This illustration was added for later reissues, and it romanticizes the truth for Ira and Charlie. These songs of sin and weakness, tragedy and temptation, were all too real. It was Ira's self-destructive bent that lent them their knife-sharp edge. Charlie was stable, but Ira was a drinker, a womanizer, and prone to flying into violent rages. By 1963, Charlie had enough and quit to go solo. Ira had survived much, including being shot by his third wife, Faye. But in 1965, he was killed with his latest bride in a car crash in Missouri. Gram Parsons would later be responsible for a renewal of interests in the brothers' music, and since then, the Leuven legend has continued to deepen and grow over decades. So just to touch on a few things there, again, we were talking about Ira's personality and the way he had a short fuse. It's common knowledge now, it seems, that his vices was drink. And by the looks of it, that alcohol turned him into a nasty person with his womanizing ways and aggressive behavior. I can understand to some extent why Charlie would feel let down by Ira. The two musicians were clearly very talented. When someone is so destructive as Ira was, it's never going to work. Somehow, in death, musicians grow to superhuman level. The ones that immediately spring to mind, of course, are Kurt Cobain, with the Nirvana legend that almost propelled him to another stratosphere of fame after his death. The same to some extent about John Lennon, and many, many more. Jim Morrison, Amy Winehouse, you get the picture. But maybe Ira's death added to that fantasy and made the Leuven brothers all the more immortal. Let me know what you think. Had you heard of the Leuven brothers before? I certainly hadn't, but I'll give you a little spoiler before I get to what I think. I enjoyed the album. I'm just going to play you another song from this album that is probably one of my favourites, if not the favourite. So here it is, Katie Dear.
Oh, Katie Dear, go ask your mother if you can be a bride of mine. If she says yes, come back and tell me. If she says no,
so, to get into the first review from RateMyMusic.com, this was left in 2011 by a user called Hugh, who gave the album 1 star out of 5, which seems a little bit harsh, but let's see what they say. Country music is one of the few genres I pretty much can't stand, and listening to this makes me really remember why. The accents are super annoying, and the music itself is just bland as hell, and devoid of anything much resembling emotion, despite the depressive lyrics. The worst album I've listened to thus far on the 1001 albums list has been The Undertones, but I think this one now bumps that from top spot. It is dire, and a total pain to get through. Although, I admit, at least the lyrics do the typical country music storytelling thing, which helps it somewhat. If it wasn't for that, I would have given up on it pretty damn quickly. I don't really know why this is on the 1001 albums list in the first place. It has a mediocre rating here, and even in an objective sense, it is really not an impressive album at all. I advise anyone against listening, unless you're some kind of crazy country fan, but even then, you'll realise that there's much better out there. So a scathing review there by Hugh. One of the things I think is quite interesting is how Hugh didn't like the harmonies, whereas I thought it's probably the best part of the album for me. Also, Hugh says pretty early on that he isn't a country music fan, so again, that probably plays into it somewhat too. One of the reasons why I enjoy the 1001 Albums journey so much, and I hope it's one of the reasons that you enjoy it too, is given music you wouldn't usually listen to a chance, in the hope that you're going to discover a gem of an artist, a gem of an album. And my advice will always be, just give it a go yourself and see what you think. Make your own mind up. So the next review is from a user called Marty Delaney 3, and this was written in 2016. They gave the album 3 stars out of 5, so a little more generous. The album is largely repetitive in style and content, but it delivers high quality harmonization and guitar work throughout. None of the tracks really stand out as exceptional, but it was still an enjoyable listen. I think that was fair. That was a fair review there for this album. And again, it plays into what I just mentioned moments ago, how two people can have such different views on the same piece of music, and that is why it is essential. You need to try these albums out for yourself. The next review, from Phoebes421, was written and published in 2010. Phoebes gave the album 5 star out of 5. A dark and truly beautiful album, and quite possibly the Leuven Brothers' finest. Every song is filled with terrible beauty that is hard to explain if you are not familiar with Charles and Ira's work. Katie Dear and Knoxville Gill are particularly memorable songs and stay with you forever. One of the greatest and totally essential. The next review, posted a lot more recently in 2022, is from Nikki345, who gave the album 2.5 stars out of 5. An inoffensive country album with some nice harmonies and complimentary simple instrumentation. It made me think of moments with my late granddad when he would put on some obscure pre-1960s vinyl during my teens, during which, while listening, I'd be thinking, this is pleasant, but I'm never listening to this again. So, applying that feeling, once with the Leuven Brothers album is good enough for me. Fair enough, Nikki. At least you gave it a go. The last review, before I get into what I think about the album, is from a user called Lambda Boyo, posted in 2020. Lambda Boyo gave the album 2.5 stars out of 5. I find it a little hard to come back to. This wasn't bad, but pretty forgettable. The harmonies were spot on, and the simple instrumentation was relaxing, but I just can't remember much from the album. So a varying degree of praise and criticism there from all the comments I've read out. Again, my advice will always be, just listen to it yourself, make your own mind up. Before I read you what I wrote for this album on my blog page, I'm going to play you another song from the album, titled In the Pines, an old American folk song, originally, I believe, by Leadbelly. I was first introduced to this song through Nirvana, who cover this song with a different title, Where Did You Sleep Last Night? But this is the Leuven Brothers version.
In the pines where the sun never shines, and you shiver when the cold wind blows. Little girl, what have I done that's made you treat me so? You've caused me to weep, you've caused me to moan, you've caused me to leave my home. In the pines where the sun never shines, and you shiver when the cold wind blows.
Right, so as always, it's time to get into what I think from this album. so I'm going to read you what I wrote on my blog post. So here it is. I had never heard of the Leuven Brothers before, but I'm glad I listened to this album. I really enjoyed the old style country sound, and especially liked the harmonies between the two brothers. I love harmonies. It's one of the reasons I love the Beatles so much. Still true. Charlie and Ira's voices blended wonderfully together, with Charlie singing the deep tones and Ira doing the higher part, which come together brilliantly. The songs on this album are harmonised so well, it sounds so effortless, but I'm sure it couldn't have been as easy as it seemed to combine the high and the low pitches. Harmonising is such an underrated talent, and the Leuven Brothers did it so well. It's a shame country songs don't sound this good these days. This album was released in 1956, and it is more country than half of the so-called country songs nowadays. This album is a great example of country roots. So I think what I meant there was the rawness of the album. You can really feel and hear the country roots in this album. It's a lot more glamorized and overproduced. Anyway, I'll continue. My favourite song from the album is probably Katie Dear. I like the way it tells a story and combines the deep and high harmonies. It's an old folk song with many renditions and different titles, but this is the first time I'd heard any rendition of it, and I think it's great. I think even if I do hear other renditions of this song, I still expect the Leuven Brothers to be my favourite version. I had also heard In the Pines because it is an old American folk song, and sung by Nirvana under the title Where Did You Sleep Last Night. This album was well worth my time. I wouldn't say anything bold, like I have found my new favourite duo or anything like that, but this is a solid album, full of fun, well-sung, well-harmonised songs, and I am happy to have sat down and listened to it. The Leuven Brothers were inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2001, and although this is the only album I have heard of theirs, I can say confidently enough that if their music career continued to be as good as this album, then I can totally understand why they were inducted. I really enjoyed the old-style country folk music. My favourite songs from this album: Kentucky, I'll Be All Smiles Tonight, In the Pines, Katie Dear, and My Brother's Will. I gave the album a 7 out of 10. I hadn't heard of this artist before, meaning I had never heard this album before. But would I listen to it again? Yes. Am I interested in checking out other albums from this artist? Yes. And does it deserve its place in the 1001 albums book? Again, I wrote yes. There's a couple of comments on my blog post I'm just going to read out to you. One of them, left by Miliguru, goes, I've also never heard of the Leuven Brothers, but I'm glad I have now. I thoroughly enjoyed it, from start to finish, with some favourites. Kentucky was indeed very good. Katie Dear too. And I have a weakness for Let Her Go, God Bless Her, which probably is my favourite of the album. But mostly I liked all the tracks. I like this kind of country. It's so not that surprising, but yay, nice discovery. Totally agree with you, Meliguru. I was also very glad to have discovered it too. Andrew B was the other user who left a comment on my blog post, and their comment starts by saying, not a big fan of old school country myself, but I can appreciate the performances on this record, and, like you, was impressed by the quality of the harmonies they sang. Not a convert, but it wasn't painful to listen to. So I hope you've had enough information there from all the comments and opinions I've read you to decide whether or not to go listen to this album or not. Again, as mentioned, that is the whole point of the 1001 Albums journey. Discover music you wouldn't usually generally listen to, just to see if you can find a new album, a new artist, or even as simply as a new song that you may like and may add to your playlist. You never know. That will always be my advice. Just give it a go. And if you do listen to the album, get in touch and let me know what you think. It's always great to hear different opinions, and I think that's a good place to leave the episode. So as always, thank you very much for listening. I truly appreciate it. Come find me on Twitter. You can find me at AlbumsJourney. I'm trying to be more active there. You can get in touch and keep up to date with all the latest news from the 1001 Albums Journey. All the links are in the description, and thank you for your time. In the next episode, I'm going to be talking about another album I enjoyed, by Louis Prima, a very good artist. And even if you haven't heard of him before, perhaps you might recognise his voice. I'll catch you soon. Goodbye.
longest train I ever saw was 19 coaches long. The only girl I ever loved is on that train and gone. In the pines where the sun never shines, and you shiver when the cold wind blows.